From KCRW, this is Greater LA. I'm Steve Chiatakis on location with the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California, coming to you from Bob's Big Boy and the parking lot here in Downey. Now, this former cattle ranch town in Southeast LA County has been through a lot. It's been through a set of familiar Southern California transitions from rural to suburban, a place that's represented the American dream to so many who have come through and put their mark on it. Well, we're here as part of our Born and Raised series, something that we've been doing for the better part of a couple of years now, where we take a deep dive into a community in transition. Today, spending the whole show starting with Downey born and raised musician Dave Alvin. He founded the band The Blasters. Have you ever heard of them? With his brother Phil and a couple of other fellows from Downey, and has also had quite a solo career as well. And Dave is right here in the parking lot at Bob's Big Boy. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
I hear you played a part in keeping this big boy...
Well, yeah, the Blasters did, yeah, in a small way. I rejoined the band for a night because I hadn't been in the Blasters since 86. Some people, Downey preservationists, asked us if we would do a show in Downey to help save what was then a place called Johnny's Broiler, but it had originally been Harvey's Broiler. And Harvey's Broiler, if you look around here, you can see it was... a car hop place where you would park, and then the car hops would come out to the car and take your order, and it was that kind of joint.
It's like the one in Burbank too, right? It's got that feel, like where you...
Well, it's like the one in Burbank. This is Googie architecture at its finest.
What was going to go here if they were going to tear it down?
Boxes.
Yeah.
You know, modern boxes.
That we see all over.
They're just meaningless, cheap, meaningless architecture. But so we did. Yeah, we did a gig at the Rio Hondo Country Club down the street here, and had a big success and raised some attention and raised a bunch of money, and they managed to save old Harvey's Broiler by making it a Bob's Big Boy.
Here. I mean, there's a lot here because when you think about obviously the American dream in general, as I mentioned at the top. You have the Space Center that's here. You've got so many things and so many people who are here. Talk a little bit about the American dream in Downey.
Downey's a microcosm of America. And the history of Downey from rancho days, from Native American days, through the cattle days, through the agricultural days, through up to the aerospace days and the manufacturing, because this was an industrial area. People don't realize it now. And then the birth of the bedroom community. You know, these are all things that happened here and in various other Southern California cities, but here it was like kind of magnified because it was connected to the space program. It was connected to all this kind of mid-century modern jazz. And now what it's developing into is it's a microcosm of America, in that it's becoming less and less local businesses. It's becoming everything's corporate businesses. And, as one set of people move out or die off, another set of people move in. Because, you know, Downey's, it's a nice place to live. When I was a kid, I just wanted to get the hell out of here. But I also loved it, so I've got like a mixed feeling about the town. You know, it is my hometown, and you know, I was happy to leave, and I'm happy to come back. You know.
Well, why don't we? Let's get in the car, shall we? Would you mind giving us a tour?
I would love to give you a tour of my hometown.
All right. Well, let me ask you, Dave. I mean, we're cruising, right?
Yeah, we're cruising.
We're cruising. What's the music we listen to while we're cruising?
Well, let's hear something that was recorded in Downey, California, back in the early 60s for the Downey record label at Wenzel's Music, which I'll try to drive you by. And this is the Shantays, the original hit record of Pipeline.
Well, Dave, we just happened to have one of our colleagues who grew up in Downey, KCRW's Rebecca Ludman, and we're actually meeting her. She grew up in this area, and she can tell us a little history about this area. So there she is. Let's go talk to her.
Great.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Rebecca! So you're going to give us a tour of this neighborhood. You grew up in this area.
Yes, I did. I grew up here in Downey, about 5 minutes from where we're standing right now, around all these big McMansions.
Did you grow up in one of these McMansions?
Or? No, I did not.
What was this area called?
The Mexican Beverly Hills, at least that's what it's referred to.
Seriously?
Yes, yep.
And what does that signify?
Well, I think it signifies, from people I've talked to, just this huge demographic shift that happened back in the 90s that happened very, very quickly. And it got the reputation that when you moved to Downey, you made it. You succeeded in life. You've exceeded all your expectations and met all your goals.
Right, right. So, Dave, Mexican Beverly Hills...
Well, I don't like that term particularly, you know, it's a little derogatory to everyone involved, but, you know, it's kind of a nickname that the neighboring, you know, people in Montebello gave it this name, you know. Hello, Montebello, how are you? So to me, it's just, Downey is constantly changing, and as I was saying in the car earlier, it was founded by Irish immigrants. And when I was a kid, it was, we had Irish, we had Italian, I'm Slavic. And, you had a mix like that, and you had Hispanic, over the course of the decades, it's become primarily Hispanic, but also a lot of Armenian and things like that. You know, and it's fascinating.
Rebecca, you are obviously of a different generation, but you still have seen change in Downey. What have you seen change?
I have seen a lot of younger people move in. I've seen everything from the businesses change. There's been more Mexican restaurants to open up from when I was even a kid. Just as a whole, the culture, it feels more inclusive. I've seen more city of events for Pride events, for Mexican holidays, Cuban holidays, like all of these types of things that the city is really just embracing this diversity.
Let's hear from some of the people who have also either been raised here or moved back here, people who are maybe not so bearish on where the city's going, but are more bullish about it, talking about, this new place called Downey.
Downey's so much more. It used to be orange groves. Downey on that side of Paramount was nothing but orange estates. Beautiful. You could smell the oranges in the wintertime back in the day. My name is Linda Mazza Tabachki, and I was born here in Downey, born in Long Beach, raised in Downey my whole life.
You know, this was the home of the space race, man. You know, they built the Challenger here. My name is Victor Salas. I've been here in the westernmost corner of Downey that butts up to Southgate since before 2004, 2003-ish.
Aerospace in Downey begins in 1929 when E.M. Smith purchases farmland from somebody who owned a bunch of land in central Downey, and he decides to create what's called the E.M. Smith Company, or EMSCO. And so he builds aviation parts and airplanes. And it undergoes a lot, it changes hands a number of times. It eventually becomes Volte, then North American Rockwell, and eventually Boeing. I'm Aaron Ramirez. I use he, him pronouns. I'm a PhD candidate in the Department of History at Yale University. I was born in Downey in 1997.
Rockwell International was the backbone of Downey growing up. All the friends that we had, their parents or family members were somehow involved with Rockwell.
The people who worked in the plants, there were a lot of them who did live in Downey, and it probably matches the demographic profile of any other high-earning white-collar job.
My name is Mario Guerra. I am the two-time former mayor of the great city of Downey. and I served on the council as an elected official here for 8 years. We were not as accepting of other cultures, I can tell you that, but in 83, you started seeing it, and people weren't happy. And I called it the white flighters to Yorba Belinda. You know, it was kind of another shift there.
The classic homeowner is implied in this period to be a white homeowner who benefits from the protections of the state to protect their property investments. And what that really just means is the protection of some of these racial boundaries, even though it's not spoken about in terms of race. It's not that somebody would be afraid of a Mexican-American or a Latino neighbor because of, you know, the color of their skin directly, but because of what that might communicate. For instance, that this neighbor was going to have multiple families living under one roof, that they were going to park too many cars on the street. So all of this was implied. The Downey Avenue Theater, which is a very figurative and literal anchor of downtown Downey, especially in 1981, was sold to Javier Bueno, who had planned to open a movie theater that had screened films that were in Spanish. And so it immediately attracted a lot of pushback from some of the residents who were saying that this was a bad precedent, that it would allow Mexican Americans to live in this country without learning English, that it would hinder their development, it would attract unsavory types.
I think the people that were going to move out moved out, and the people that were going to move in, move in. I'm Cuban. Downey has had one of the highest populations of Cubans, you know, west on the West Coast. So, but we have Cubans, we have Mexican, Nicaraguans, and we have all different cultures.
So in 1993, when the Downey Eagle had started publishing, it was the first time in over a decade that the city had its own newspaper, and the editor chose to run a series introducing or covering the characteristics of the Mexican-Americans who had moved in. But that very series, which had really emphasized that the Mexican-Americans and Latinos who were moving in were upwardly mobile, had sufficient income to maintain the quality of life and all of that, there was still pushback because there were some people who thought, well, I don't want any Mexicans in the city. I don't want any Latinos. But at some point between 1990 and 2000 is when Latinos become the majority and Mexican-Americans become the plurality.
Growing up in Southgate and in Huntington Park, we're talking late 90s. There was definitely a perspective amongst the folks that I hung out with that Downey was where people from Southeast LA went to sell out. That was just kind of what it was. It was just like this idea that Downey was bougie. Downey was bougie, and if you came to live to Downey, you were bougie by extension. My name's Carlos Arceo, and I'm a Downey resident. I've been here. It'll be 11 years in November.
I moved out of Downey in 2015, and that was a really big culture shock. And so it was the first time that I really reckoned with what it meant to be Mexican, because for the first time, not everybody around me was also Mexican or any other Latino.
My name is Sarah Gallegos. I bought my own house back in 2019. And my real estate agent is the one that told me, like, oh, the Mexican Beverly Hills. And I was like, I've never heard of that. And I've lived here forever.
There was a newspaper article in the LA Times that originally called this the Mexican Beverly Hills. And I didn't like that. Number one is, then they changed it to Latino. I don't know if I still like that.
I think there are obvious criticisms to be made, namely that, like the Beverly Hills, the city of Downey is also majority renter.
There is a vibrant working class and poor and working class community here that isn't acknowledged very often. I think there is a select group of folks here who really take pride in being called the Mexican Beverly Hills, which is a little like weird to me. You know, it's like, be yourself. Why do you have to be the Mexican something?
I don't want to say I'm offended because, you know, I like my Mexican people. But, this goes back to also growing up. Whenever I spoke Spanish, it was like, oh, what part of Mexico are you from? I've even had Mexican people ask me, like, where in Mexico is Peru? And I'm like, what? I'm just so, like, in awe because I'm like, really? I wish people would know that there is more than just Mexicans in this community.
People were thinking that I'm also from Downey, but that's not me. And it's the same issue with the article that came out in the New York Times a couple years later. I heard shortly after this New York Times article came out that they were going to make a show about Downey. It's about this family that it's a working class Mexican-American family that moves into Downey and realizes that in some ways they're very similar to their neighbors and in other ways that they're not.
It seems to be a kind of town that gives the small guy the break it needs. It's a town of opportunity.
I want to be remembered as Downey's a good place. I want to be remembered as somebody that helped promote that because Downey is a good place. Beverly Hills is, you know, they can consider themselves the Downey, you know, they're the white Downey.
KCRW's Rebecca Ludman. Rebecca, thanks for showing us around.
It was my pleasure. Thank you, Steve.
All right.
Now let's go see Downey.
You know, seeing all these streets, Dave, I'm just taken aback by, you know, how middle income, middle class this all looks here in Downey. And I would imagine that had a lot to do with all the engineers and the people who worked in the aerospace industry.
Yeah, the aerospace industry was the main employer here starting like in the post-war era. And that's why the town boomed. The motto in those days of the city of Downey was Future Unlimited. And it was all kind of tied to the aerospace. It was, you know, we were no longer going to be a cow town. We weren't going to be an Orange Grove town. We were going to be the town of the future. And so as we pull into downtown Downey here, you know, downtown Downey used to look like, I have old photographs of it where, you know, it looks like a movie set for a film noir. But in the 60s, because of the aerospace industry, they redid downtown Downey and made it look like the set of Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. I'm not kidding.
Suck it to me.
Yeah.
Suck it to me.
And now I don't know how you would describe it. It's a little bit of everything.
You know. Well, KCRW's Megan Jamerson was recently here in downtown Downey, and she spoke to a local business that was brought in to help this downtown shift. But now they don't know if they'll be able to stay.
Back in 2010, downtown Downey was really quiet, and most retail spaces were empty. So when local artist Gabriel Enamorado helped organize an art show downtown that drew a crowd of 800 people, the city noticed. They called Enamorado and said,
"What you guys are doing is really cool. How can we get you guys into a space to keep doing it? What would that look like?"
2 years later, Enamorado helped open a nonprofit art gallery downtown called Stay Gallery. The city agreed to fully subsidize the rent in exchange for community programming. It was all part of Downey's plan to revitalize its blighted downtown after the recession. Enamorado says his focus with the gallery quickly became the community.
It's more about the access and giving people the opportunity to share their work and giving kids the opportunity to experience the arts. You know, it's not part of the fabric of not only the city, but I think as Latinos, which are the majority here, it's not something that parents are urging you to go do.
Over the last decade, the gallery's influence has grown. They are now helping run the art portion of an after-school program at Downey Unified Schools. On at least two afternoons a week, you'll find one of the gallery's employees teaching art to elementary school kids.
Miss Cindy!
Yes, Luna?
Miss Cindy is Cindy Sendita Macias, and today she has an announcement for her second and third graders at Galden Elementary School.
So I have important news. We do have an art show, and I finally have a date. And guess what?
What?
The kids will get to sell their artwork at Stay Gallery starting next week. Stay Gallery has also been filling a void since the city's art museum closed in 2009. They offer things like free and low-cost family art days, mentorship for high schoolers, and art shows for local students and professional artists alike. Along the way, Enamorado has built a deep connection with the community.
I care so much, and I just want to be able to give people that feeling of, like, just being taken care of and knowing that your creativity and what you have inside is valuable and it matters. And I think that you do that for people and it pulls out, I mean, the best of them.
But big changes could be coming for this gallery, and its future is uncertain. That's because the gallery relies on the city to pay 80% of its rent along a prime strip of real estate in downtown. It totals about $36,000 a year. Their lease is up at the end of May, and the city hasn't decided if it wants to renew the funding. That's actually kind of how things were originally set up. Over time, the agreement was that State Gallery would work to pay its rent and become a financially independent nonprofit. But here we are more than 10 years later. Downtown is very lively, but the gallery hasn't found a way to sustain itself without help from the city. Anna Morado says there was a belief at the beginning that there was a market here for an art gallery.
That there was a way to like genuinely make enough money to pay for this thing and pay for staff and programs and all the things that go into it. But that just has not been the case.
First of all, people don't buy art in Downey like they do in West LA. So operating like a traditional gallery is out. And selling tickets to the 6 exhibits they host each year just doesn't even come close to covering costs. They've even done things like picking up graphic design work for the city and local newspaper and renting out the space for events. Anna Morado says he's willing to find a compromise with the city to continue their partnership. But the bottom line is this.
The city stops supporting, this thing goes away.
State Gallery's fate is now up to the City Council as they draft their budget for the next fiscal year. Council members KCRW spoke with say they have questions they will need answered before they can make a decision, like...
Well, number one is, can we afford it?
Councilmember Mario Trujillo says the gallery is a great addition to downtown, but he would like to settle the long-standing debate around whether or not it can ever be self-sustaining.
We should just either agree that we're always going to subsidize it or help them become self-sufficient, right?
Then there is the issue of competing interests, says Mayor Claudia Frometa.
We need to be very thoughtful and we need to be cognizant of the recession that is looming. And we need to, you know, make sure that we protect first and foremost our financial obligations to public safety and the infrastructure improvements that we have already engaged with.
There are a couple of possible outcomes. Nothing changes and the gallery gets its funding, or the city reduces how much money they give the gallery, or they decide to stop funding it altogether. If the city cuts their funding, the nonprofit will live on through the after-school arts program, like the one at Galden Elementary. That's because the project is state-funded and run in partnership with the Downey Foundation for Educational Opportunities. What would be lost, says Anna Morado, is the nonprofit's physical presence downtown. That would make it harder to fulfill his deeper mission, which is to make Downey a place where young people feel like they belong and want to stay after high school.
When we opened this gallery, the name Stay Gallery was because that was the whole purpose, was how do we create a space that encourages people and inspires people to stay local, to stay in their community, to stay creative. But mainly it was about how do we keep people here, because everyone is leaving.
And between the decade or so in downtown and the thousands of students that have walked through their doors,
one of those kids is bound to become a professional artist or a teacher or gets inspired to do something through their art.
And in at least one case, that is true. Remember Cindy Macias, the after-school art teacher? Well, back in 2014, she was a high school senior in Downey. And one day, she was downtown working on a story for the school newspaper.
And I remember I saw the gallery, and I'm very curious. I'm always like, what is this? And so I walked into the gallery, and they were super welcoming, very friendly, and the rest is history.
Macias spent a lot of senior year there. She took photos of their events, and they allowed her to use the space for photo shoots. And it's where her photography was shown professionally for the first time. Then, years later, after college, Macias saw State Gallery had an opening for an after-school arts teacher. She applied and got it. It felt full circle because of what State Gallery means to her.
It's like, I know that that's a space that supports my journey, like not just a physical space, but even like mental and emotional spaces, because I know that they're a safe space.
A safe space where Macias can now pay it forward and shape the lives of Downey's kids, at least for now. For KCRW, I'm Megan Jamerson.
Well, that's going to do it for our day in Downey and for this episode of Greater LA. Thank you if you shared your story with us today. Juliana Mayo, Christian Bordahl, Sonia Guys, Phil Richards, and Ray Guarna all helped make today's show possible. And here's a question for you. Is there a neighborhood, your neighborhood in Greater LA, that you think would be good for a future Born and Raised episode? Somewhere that's going through big changes that we should take a look at? Reach out to us on the website at kcrw.com/GLA. And of course, let us know. In the meantime, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thank you for your time and, of course, your ears. Have a great night.